So the gospel lesson was a very familiar story of a paralyzed man being brought to Jesus by his friends who broke through the barrier of the roof to lower him down that he might be healed. The Hebrew scripture lesson comes from the story of Esther. This is a short book, and I'd encourage you all to read it. And we're going to be hearing a passage from the middle of the story. So for background, Esther was a young Jewish girl who was brought before the king of Persia and made one of his wives. But while she was living in the palace, an advisor to the king passed a decree saying that all Jews in the kingdom should be killed. Esther's uncle, a man named Mordecai, got word to Esther about this decree, and he was asking her to go to the king to intervene on behalf of all the Jewish people and thereby stop this act of violence from occurring. So we pick up the story when the servants between Mordecai and Esther have exchanged messages and news has reached the palace of the decree to kill all Jews. A reading from Esther chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. Esther spoke to Hathach and then gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out his golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them in to reply to Esther, "Do not think that the king's palace will protect you and that you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will all perish. But who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." So then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and then hold a fast on my behalf. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. And then after that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. In this place and in this time, Lord, draw near. Open our hearts to hear your word. Open our spirits to receive your grace. And then send us forth to be your agents of change, your disciples of peace. We pray this in Christ's name, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 250 years ago, the philosopher Edmund Burke coined a famous phrase, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good people to do nothing." Now, it's a great oratorical flourish. It's a turn of phrase that's designed to be a call to action, similar to other great lines from history, like Roosevelt saying, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Or the Navy Admiral saying, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." Or the TV saying, "Buy one, get one free." Okay, not that example. What must be noted, though, is that all of these inspirational phrases are only necessary because we as people do not always act when we ought to. We hate to get involved sometimes. We don't want to put ourselves at risk. We're happy just to stay out of messy things. So there, for every Edmund Burke that's out there rallying the people, there are dozens of other folks whispering in our ears nearby saying, don't make waves. Just go along to get along. And it's someone else's problem. No one wants evil to triumph. But the question is, how do we know when we're supposed to get involved? When do we stick our necks out? And when do we cross the line from inaction to action itself? Queen Esther, a beautiful, pious Jewish girl, had recently been brought into the royal household of King Ahasuerus. And she faced this precise dilemma herself. A decree had gone forth announcing that all the Jews in the kingdom were to be killed. It was basically a 4th century BC Holocaust. Now Esther had been living a sequestered life behind the palace walls until word from her uncle Mordecai reached her that something must be done about this impending pogrom. Esther, like so many of us, initially believes that there's nothing she can do, that she's just not the right person for this job, and besides, the risks of intervening are just too great. But Mordecai replies back that those palace walls will not protect her from this violent decree. And then he offers his own famous turn of phrase, and he says to her, who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. For such a time as this. There are moments in our lives when situations present themselves to us and we end up thinking, look, something has to be done. Someone has to say something, and maybe perhaps I'm the one that has to do it. Haven't you all been there at some point? I want you to think through some of the examples of these situations. Someone you care for very much is trapped in addiction, is drinking or popping pills or gambling, being dishonest at work, being disloyal in their relationships. And so you know the next step has to be for someone to confront him or her and to intervene on the behalf of what is right. Or someone around you may think it's funny to make jokes that are racist or homophobic or misogynist. But rather than treat it like a joke, you know in your heart someone needs to say something, and those types of humor have to be challenged. Or maybe where you work, there are practices being done that are unethical and are putting people at risk. Someone needs to be the whistleblower. But you know that to do that may risk losing your job. In all of these situations, basically, we stand on one side of a line, and then you have to decide, do I cross that line or not? Do I get involved and speak out, or do I stay silent? And even if you know that crossing that line is the right thing to do, that doesn't make it any easier. To cross a line involves courage. The courage to both overcome the obstacles and barriers in front of you and your own fears within you in order to do something for the greater good. Some people talk about, well, that's just having the courage of one's convictions. But that only means that your public actions are in line with your private beliefs, your faith values. Now, crossing that line need not be a huge action. It need not be like Rosa Parks refusing to move from her seat on that Montgomery bus so many years ago. It can be a quiet action, a specific personal action. But even though it's small, it will still require a fair amount of courage. Derrick Bell is a New York University law professor who actually grew up right here in Pittsburgh in the Hill District. He tells a story about his mother, Ada, who took him when he was about 6 or 7 years old with her when she went down to the rent office. And when she got to the teller's barred window, she stood in front of the window and she waved the money in the man's face. And she said to the man, "I have your rent money, but I will only give it to you when you come and fix the back steps on our house before my children are injured." Now, this was during the Great Depression. They had limited resources. They could well have been kicked out of their home for non-payment of rent. Well, when Derek Bell asked his mother what happened next, even years later, she would beam and say, "You know, they fixed the steps, and they fixed the steps of every house in our row of the neighborhood." Bell went on to say that we should not assume that speaking out in defense of others will always have the worst possible consequences. Instead, we should assume that not speaking out is what will bring about the worst possible consequences and the very thing that we fear the most. The Harvard chaplain Peter Gomez has said that courage is when you believe in love in the face of hate, when you believe in life in the face of death, day in the face of night, and goodness in the face of evil. Today at this service, we are focusing on the theme of accessibility. And so part of our time together involves considering ways that we can better invite all people to worship and share their gifts on Sunday mornings. So Jessica is here to help with sign language. And we've adjusted our chancel space somewhat so that Kay Schisler and Mark Steidel could serve as liturgists this morning. Now, I know fully that these are imperfect solutions to a very complex problem. The ramp and the platform still do not make the entire chancel area accessible. But as I said earlier, you have to ask questions. You have to be willing to at least try out things that will fail if you ever hope to get close to approximating an answer or a solution that is just and radically hospitable to all. But on a deeper level, to talk about accessibility is actually to use a metaphor. Accessibility means that we are asking about barriers that exist between what we are doing now and what is just to be done. So glass ceilings and pay inequality between the genders is an accessibility issue. Racism and flaws in our criminal justice system are accessibility issues. Being afraid to come out, to be honest about your sexual orientation to your family or where you work in Pennsylvania, is an accessibility issue. Because whatever blocks access to power, whatever blocks access to civil rights and to justice, is something that draws a line in the sand. And then we are forced to decide, do I cross that line or do I not? But who knows? Maybe God put me in this place for just such a time as this. In thinking about when to get involved in a messy situation, I'm going to give you some advice. Now, preachers do that. They give out lots of advice. I'm not sure why, it just seems to be in the job description. So today, I'm going to give you Lotta advice. Not a lot of advice, but LOTA advice. LOTA is a four-letter acronym to help you remember what to do when you faithfully decide to cross a line and take action. And the source of this LOTA advice is actually Queen Esther from long ago. First, L. Listen to God. When Esther heard the horrible news from Mordecai, at some point she stopped being passive and she took charge of the situation. She sent back word saying, "Have all the Jews gather together and then fast. Humble themselves. Seek to discern what is God's will for them right then in that time of crisis." To fast is an act of faith. It's believing that as we suppress our own needs and inclinations, we are more able to hear what God would have us do. By quieting ourselves, we are able to listen for that still small voice of a loving God. And so, as always, the first step is to listen for God. Second, observe. Look around. Gather information. Choose wisely when you want to initiate a difficult conversation. And figure out both the best times and the best ways to get your message across that will have the greatest chance for success. In that story about Derek Bell's mother, she came to that rent office with the money and her child so that the man would fully understand the depth of her passion and the sincerity of her concerns. In the story of Esther, she carefully had observed life in the palace. She knew the daily schedules, even as she knew that no one was allowed to come into the king's presence unless he invited them. She knew that whatever plan she hoped to carry out, it would have to be incredibly clever, because her enemy was the king's right-hand man. God has given every one of us five senses, as well as senses of intuition and compassion, and spirits of righteousness and courage. Basically, God wants you to use all of those things in the pursuit of justice. Therefore, we should always be observant and wise for the Lord. The third letter is T, trust. Remember Peter Gomes' quote about having the courage to believe in love in the face of hatred, believe in life even in the face of evil and death. Faith is that part of you that trusts in the good news of Jesus Christ and that believes that this world, God's world, is grounded ultimately on goodness and mercy and love. Esther did not have a great plan. She decided on the third day she would simply put on her best robes, and then she would stand in an inner hallway across from the king's throne room. Now, the man had not called for her in over a month. She had no reason to believe that just her appearing in the vicinity of the king would accomplish anything. But in that moment, she trusted her instincts. She trusted her intuition. She trusted that the Lord would provide and make a way out of no way. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Surely God is our salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might, and God has become my salvation." Fourth, the letter A for act. Cross that line. Break the silence. Do so not solely out of your own woundedness or your own sense of indignation, but do so for the common good. Act to bring healing to that person before you who is a child of God, but who is captive to something that is destroying her or his life. Act to bring hope to that person outside these walls who will be quick to say to you, "I don't have time to step into churches. I hate hard pews and hymns and hypocrisy." But even as they say that, they are hoping you will have a rebuttal, that they might find something in you or your words that offers them hope or a fresh perspective or a rediscovered faith. Act. Take your inspiration from Malala, the young Pakistani girl who is the newest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize Award. Act like Queen Esther, whose God gave her the courage to stand there in the outer hallway, gave her the courage to speak when the king did call her forward, gave her courage to act, to invite the king and the evil counselor to two different dinners, that face to face she might plead her case and the case of all of her people, that they might be saved from violence. Now, that's a lot of advice. Listen for God, observe, trust, and act. Esther did it, and you can do it as well. Full access to justice, peace, and righteousness comes when good men and women do something about it. Healing broken lives and broken institutions comes when we shine the light of Christ into all the dark corners of this world. And you'll know when you have to cross that line, when you listen, observe, trust, and act for just such a time as this. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, when you spoke heaven, earth, and every created thing into being, you declared them as good. And we acknowledge today that although we are all other-abled, your creation and created are still good. We give you thanks for the variety of gifts and talents you have bestowed and placed in this worshiping community. May everyone know their worth and find their place through the leading of the Holy Spirit for such a time as this. Lord God, we pray your continued guidance and peace every and anywhere confusion, violence, and unrest exist. In Missouri, in Pittsburgh, the Middle East, Africa. We pray your healing power for all those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and your infinite comfort for all who are grieving. We pray your courage for those who stand and advocate for justice and equality for those who are disenfranchised and powerless. Lord God, we pray your infinite wisdom for all those who govern locally and nationally. And we pray for missionaries throughout the world who have heeded your clarion call. Most especially this day, we lift to you Rebecca, Josh, Owen, Chinua, Cornelius, and Shauna. May you continue to strengthen and encourage them along their way. Lord God, we pray that your Spirit would permeate the very fibers of our being, that we might know you and your Son, our Savior, more fully, as we strive to live this life that you have set before us. Lord God, may we all be champions in our own way, not that we would receive any acknowledgement, but you would receive all glory and all honor for empowering and moving and creating us. And Lord God, most especially, we give you thanks for your Son and our Savior, who gave his very life that we might be reconciled back to you and be called the children of God. And we thank you as we lift our voices in the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.